Let us now turn in our Bibles to Judges chapter 18. And we're looking at verses 1 through 13. Judges chapter 18, verses 1 through 13. Now we will read together. Let's begin. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely, in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Rise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore they called that place Mahanadan to this day. That is west of Kirjath-Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. There is where we will stop today in the reading of God's word. But may God bless his words to our hearts. And you would ignore the title in the bulletin. I'm jumping ahead. I printed the bulletin I'm working on for next week. But for this week, we're looking at the epidemic of ignorance beginning. And next week we'll see how it expanded. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there is a constant concern about the spread of communicable disease, especially in the winter time. And I know it doesn't feel like it right now, but it's not too far away. And you're trained during that time to wash your hands and to build up your immunity and to cough in your elbow. But there's another kind of disease that is far more contagious than the flu. I call it ignoritis veritas. Don't look for it in any place. You will not find it. It's just made up. But the idea is ignorance of truth. In our passage today, you will see how ignorance, because it remained unchecked, not only took over Micah's house, but it also started to spread to the tribe of Dan. We have two simple headings today: the fact of ignorance and then the act of ignorance. Our goals are that as the redeemed children of God through Jesus Christ, you will learn to depend on God's revealed word for what you believe and how you live. First, the fact of ignorance. There was no king in Israel, so there was no order in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. No one was held accountable for his sins. And you can compare that to a church where there is no discipline whatsoever. Sadly, those churches are more and more in number in North America today. The law of God was brushed aside just to have an existence, a fake unity between the members of the congregation. Instead of God being king in Israel, ignorance was king instead. And that was the theme of Judges. Now the Danites, who were assigned land in the westernmost part of Israel, later they conquered some up north, as we will see, but they were given land on the westernmost part of Israel, had not fully taken their land, and even some that they had captured were lost to the Philistines. And then the other tribes didn't help Dan to capture and keep their land. No advice was given as what they should do, because their land was getting less and less. Knowledge was scarce. How do you conquer the land? They did not know. The priests were absent, the prophets were absent, and the rest of the tribes of Israel were either lazy or did not care about the Danites. Either way, the results were exactly the same. Dan lost land, Dan didn't have enough, and Dan decided to go looking. Feeling abandoned, then, the Danites took matters into their own hands, which is always a recipe for disaster. The Danites sent out five brave men, and that's the word that you see tossed around in charismatic circle, Kail. The idea of brave men being strong and bold. These five men were sent out to see how they could solve the problem for themselves, how they could get land. Dan, you would remember, was cursed by Jacob back in Genesis 49 with being serpent-like, like a snake, sneaky. So he was good as, they were good as spies. And they sent these five men to spy out to see what land they could conquer. The idea of taking matters into your own hands is not strange, but it is always dangerous. Isn't this what happened to King Saul when he waited for Samuel to come? Let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 together. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly." You know, it was regrettable that Samuel did not come on time. But it was also regrettable that Saul thought it was okay to take matters into his own hands. Ignorance was deadly and destructive to Saul, and it was deadly and destructive to Dan, and it is deadly and destructive to you. Is this a predominant problem where people don't know what the Bible says? Even finding things in the Bible, learning the books of the Bible, which should have been routine. There are times in the Old Testament where entire sections, people would have memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the whole books. That was knowing the Word of God. But we are at a time when a lack of knowledge is very evident, and you can understand the danger we're in because of the lack of the knowledge of the Word of God. Now these five men in their search for land to conquer came to Ephraim, where the unelected young Levite was serving Micah and his family as their priest. They were desperate for help. They had no idea what to do, because no one was there to help him. No priest was there, or prophet to help them. No clear instructions. So they listened to what the lying Levite, who was only willing to speak what he had to say. And you see, there is the trouble. Now the five Danites questioned the young Levite about his work. This is what they would call due diligence, but not much. After listening to what he said, not to his accent like some people tried to take this verse, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. It wasn't his accent, but what he was saying. They assumed he was a priest because he probably had religious words in his mouth. He would have known many things about the law, so he sounded legitimate. Therein is the danger. He sounded legitimate. So they asked him a number of questions, but not the right ones. You know, if you like someone, you don't pressure them too much when you're questioning them. I remember a week and a half ago, a reporter refused to ask Hillary Clinton, who's running for president of the U.S., some of the questions about all the scandals associated with her. Instead, the reporter asked her, "What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?" How would you get to know what this woman believes or if she's trustworthy? By knowing what type of ice cream? Pistachio almond? How do you get to know what the real person is? Now, it's true they did not enjoy traveling these harsh conditions. It's not like you go into your car, turn on your air conditioning and stop by in the restaurants, and it was a comfortable drive. This was hard conditions. So you see, the pressure sort of had some impact, it seems, upon them, and they just went easy on the Levite. Look at the questions they ask. Who brought you here? Okay, I came myself. What are you doing in this place? I'm serving as a priest. What do you have here? What do you own? Well, all the things that Micah gave to me. I didn't steal anything. So for them, that was it. Here's what they should have asked. How and when were you ordained to serve as priest of God? Because that's what God's word required. Who supervises what you do? Or are you a law unto yourself? How come you're using idols to worship God when God says you shall not make unto you any graven images? Why are you being paid by private sources rather than by the church? How can a non-priest hire you to be a priest? How's your church run? Are you the one controlling things? What is your relationship with the Ark of the Covenant that was in Shiloh? No priest served without the Ark, which was a picture of Jesus Christ. But these five men were looking for their personal benefit rather than the glory of God. And this was deliberate ignorance. May have been. They were never taught these things. So whether they did it or it seems deliberate, but it could be that they were never taught. Either way, the results were the same. They were lost. They were ready to be deceived by a man who pretended to be a priest of God. The Levite then explained all that Micah did for him. He should have been ashamed to say that he was hired by Micah, and that Micah made him into a priest. In ignorance, he thought what he did was fine, even usurping the authority of the priest. Now, because of their ignorance, then these five Danites then asked the Levites if God, and look at the difference in the names now, they asked by, in verse 5, please inquire of God, Elohim, if he would bless their journey and if they would be prosperous. Now, Elohim is a proper name for God. But the covenant name, the one on the basis on which we get blessing, is our relationship to God as Jehovah God, not Elohim. They were ignorant of God's covenant name. They convinced themselves that this Levite was the right man, and they took advice from him because, after all, he sounded good. This was a picture of the blind leading the blind. You see what ignorance does. Look at the response of the priest. The Levite then told them that they would be successful. But it's interesting that the Levite doesn't say, Elohim, the presence of Elohim will be with you. He said the presence of Jehovah will be with you. So the Levite had some right words to speak. And when he used Jehovah, it had legitimacy. He is speaking for covenant God. He was like the lying prophet speaking to the king of Israel that led him to his death. Remember the case of Ahab. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 12. Let's read together. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Remember that strong language, oh yeah, God will bless you, he'll take care of you, and of course it led to his death. So you listen to the wrong people, and you don't know who the right people are. If you are ignorant of what truth is, you will listen to any pack of lies, as long as it seems reasonable, as long as it's couched in that type of language that you can identify with. Therein is the danger. Let's look at some lessons about this, the fact of ignorance, how it had pervaded the culture where the Danites couldn't identify what truth was. And Micah didn't know what truth was. He just picked this man, and this man, who probably knew a little bit more, he just played along, the young Levite. First of all, don't ignore your brothers and sisters who are on the fringe. Maybe they don't seem to fit in, so you don't invite them into your home. Or maybe you were excited when they joined, but life happens and you just sort of ignore them. Like the children of Israel ignore Dan. But no one in the church must ever be unloved. If anyone is unloved in the church, you are guilty. If anyone is unloved in the church of Christ, you are guilty. And keep in mind that the fringe brothers may be in other churches. This is not the only church. We have brothers and sisters in many different backgrounds, many different denominations, and they should be loved by you. Second, God always takes care of his children. But there's no such assurance to those who have no regard for him. Look at Psalm 34 verse 15. Let's read this together. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Now in this case though, Dan didn't care about God. They didn't go to God and say, send us prophets, send us priests. The rest of Israel didn't care about God. They did what was right in their own eyes, instead of what was right in the eyes of God. You know, God has promised that as a Christian, he will bless your going out and your coming in. But the ungodly will be bitten by the serpent. That's why you must stay close to God. Third thing to think about. Not everyone who uses the name of God is a servant of God. Learn to decipher false teaching and false teachers. Some people sound, but they are not. If you don't learn to decipher truth, you will be misled. And you see that when you listen to television preachers who are in the game of getting famous. Watch them dance around the exclusivity of Christ and that everyone who does not believe in Christ will go to hell. They will not say that. What Joel Osteen talk about how the people in India are so dedicated, and it's not for me to say, he said, whether they'll be saved or not. Well, who is it must say that? Who must say that? It must be the ministers of the gospel. Must be clear and strong to be able to say, if you worship idols, you will go to hell. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. You could be the nicest and most dedicated people. You could say you believe in Christ like the Muslims do. But without Jesus Christ, they will all go to hell. We should never be ashamed or afraid to say so. And when ministers start to hedge on those things, when they try to talk about, or they come up with there's a new innovative way to speak now, which is popular. They don't say that Hindu or a Muslim could be saved, but they say, well, there are many ways to Christ. What way is there to Christ? How many ways are there to Christ? But there's only, Christ is the only way to God, but there are many ways to Christ. That's a new, quite innovative, false doctrine. What's the only way to Christ? But through the Word of God. Through submitting to Him. And that's why you have to learn to listen carefully. Ignorance is dominant, but truth must triumph. And that's where you need to focus. It doesn't matter if many people like that man or not like him. I was telling someone recently that I had a student who's a Hindu who loves what Joel Osteen puts up his quotes on Facebook. Well, it tells you something of how exclusive they see, and we will talk about the exclusivity of Christ in the second sermon, how weak it is that it seems to be welcomed by anyone, as if it were true for them. And don't fall for people who tell you what you like or what you want to believe. Let them support what they say from the Word of God, like the people in Berea did. And then fourth, beware of self-appointed leaders and pastors. Pragmatism can take over here. We can get the argument that uses, we can't get anyone, so we'll change our standards. We can't get enough men to be pastors, so we'll take on some women. We don't have mature people, so we'll give these unqualified young men a chance. Beware of, and then there's some who take on the work themselves. But these are inexperienced, unqualified people who do more harm than good to the Church of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't use that pragmatism. Micah should have said, no, if you are not a priest of God, then you may not serve here. We need to pray that God will bring revival and raise up good men who will come and be priests of Jehovah. Well, let's look at the act now. What happened because this ignorance that was had become so predominant in Israel? Micah was ignorant, the people of Dan were ignorant, and the Levite was sort of semi-ignorant. What was the response? Now, from verse 7 onwards, happy with the news that God would bless their spying mission. Untrue though it was, the Danites then proceeded to Laish, or Leshem, which is in the northernmost part of Israel. They walked for 5 days at least, about 170 kilometers in hot, inhospitable conditions, based on untruths. They saw that Laish was good. It was extremely fertile. It was a secured valley. There were no rulers to organize for war against Dan if they attacked. And Laish had no alliances to help them. Something that's not in your notes, but you'll find I'll discuss this, Lord willing, next time. It's that this was really outside of the area that God had promised to Israel. This was not really part of Canaan. These people were minding their own business, not a threat to Israel. And they lived in this valley just at the end of where God had said he would give to Canaan, to Israel as part of Canaan. What a tragedy. Look at the background of this in Joshua chapter 19, verse 47. Look what ignorance did. Let's begin. And the border of the children of Dan went beyond these, because the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it. And they struck it with the edge of the sword, took possession of it, and dwelt in it. They called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan their father. So they had their property in the south, well, in the westernmost part of Israel. They lost some. What was their response? Let's look for some weak people who can't fight back, and we will slaughter them. After all, God said he would bless our mission. He would bless our work. You see the problem? Bad directions, faulty instructions caused them to plan to destroy an innocent people. Their action, we say, was colored by their ignorance. Now, these people were not worshippers of God, but they certainly were not a threat to Israel. So the spies then, after seeing the land, they thought, for sure, God's going to give us this land. These people are not very good. They're not very equipped for fighting. They don't have alliances with other nations. So we can really take them. So they went back to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtaol, which were in the south, southwest in Dan. And they urged their brothers to get ready to go and fight, to attack the land, confident that they would take the land as theirs. Their ignorance urged them to action. You know, you often think about, and sometimes you have to see, when if something is based on ignorance, what it can cause. And there are many people now who are realizing the poverty that are coming upon countries because they're told that global warming is happening and everything will fall apart and you have to make all these significant changes. One of the things it does, it affects business, it affects wealth, it affects many other areas of life. And you have to be careful. Is it really grounded in knowledge? Is it grounded in truth? And there are a lot of people who dispute what some of the global warming alarmists have said, particularly man-made global warming. And the same thing is, what you believe is not grounded upon truth. Someone was mentioning yesterday about people always tell you what will fix a problem. There are health issues and you've got all these bush medicines and secret things that are supposed to fix all the problems that you've got in health. And you know some of them are good, but you know some of them are just somebody had a good idea of how to make money and they had some garbage they needed to sell and they sort of sell it to people and people buy it and think this is going to fix all my problems. You see, lack of knowledge, if you're not trusting the reliable source, you will end up in these types of difficult situations. And that's what happened to the people of Dan. These five men, these supposedly brave men, listened, they were fooled, and then they went and fooled the other people from Dan. The ignorance started to spread. So 600 men prepared an attack against the land. Before they did, they came back to Micah's house. One more time, the 600 men. Do you see how ignorance started to spread? Micah misled them, and now they misled each other. What lessons can we learn from this? How ignorance works and what it makes people do in terms of in context of the church. First of all, you have no ground for acting unless God's word authorizes you by clear prescription or by clear imitable example. Those who look for signs in the sky will shame their Savior who has done his work as a prophet. Jesus is the Word of God. He's revealed to us Genesis through Revelation. And therefore, if you want to know truth, if you want to know what to believe and how to live, you need to go to the Word of God. So many people would say, do you think this is the right person for me? Well, what does the Word of God say? Does the person meet the qualifications of God's Word? Then yes. You don't have to be enslaved looking for signs. I think in many ways, it's laziness where people don't want to dig into the Word of God to find truth. So they'd rather look for some sign or maybe a dream or a feeling or intuition. And that's where they're misled. But God's Word must be the thing that you look to. And if there is an example in the Bible too, you have to make sure that it's something that is intended for you to imitate. Because not everything you see in the Bible you should imitate. Watch these wild charismatic preachers who look at these things that Jesus did and say, you see, that's what he did. You should be able to do that too. Please don't do everything Jesus did. Do what he has told you to do. Don't go into a temple and start beating people with cords because you don't like what they're doing or they're doing something wrong. Do what he's instructed. Let his word be the principle from which you operate. God's word is absolute for you. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Together, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So if a minister, or as the Apostle Paul says, even if an angel comes to you and says something that's contrary to the gospel, he says, let him be accursed. Don't follow him. Follow what God's word says. Examine what he says in the light of the word of God. Second, this means you must then know the scripture. Search the scriptures. Question what the best preachers say, like the church in Berea did in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Let's read together. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. What was preached by the apostle? Didn't take that for granted. So here's the thing. You might be a member of a Reformed church, and there's no doubt that we've got the best doctrines you'll find anywhere. But if you rely upon me, and you think, well, whatever he says must be true, must be good, you are on dangerous territory. You're walking down the dangerous road. You have to be able to take the word that you hear, evaluate it in light of the scriptures. So if you don't read your Bible during the week, and I don't mean a token, read it and then put it down, put it away. I mean getting into the word of God. Study the word of God. If you don't do that, you are subjecting yourself to an unnecessary risk and danger. I try my best to be as accurate as I can, but I guarantee you it's not always the case. And it's your responsibility to search out the scriptures regularly to see if it is true. Examine it in the light of God's word. Don't expose yourself to danger. Let's conclude. The five Danite tribes, spies, were ignorant of God's law. God's law concerning worship in particular. So they were deceived into accepting what this young, ignorant priest said to them. He sounded good and probably had some good theological words, some catchphrase that made you think, that sounds like a good person. Maybe the person has the ichthus, the fish in the back of their car, and you think, that must be a Christian. Maybe he prayed well. And they heard and thought, wow, that man's good. But so did the Pharisees. The Pharisees were good at public prayers. Believing what was not true, the five men of Dan then spread ignorance to the whole tribe of Dan. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't ignore the duties, first of all, that you have for each other. It might be complicated to help someone. It might cost you. You might have to give up of your time, your money. You might have other things to do. But helping each other is evidence of love. We used to sing that song, they will know we are Christians. How? By our love. That's what the Apostle John said. And there are mutual benefits that come from common interests in the kingdom. For example, the Bible tells us that one plants, one waters. That's how we work together for the kingdom. You see what happened when Israel ignored Dan and the needs of Dan. They went wandering around and exposed themselves to danger. Second, but be aware that there are many who use right-sounding words. They may be famous and they may be well-liked, but if what they speak is inconsistent with the Word of God, you must reject them. Yes, take the time to carefully examine what they say. But if it is untrue, have nothing to do with that person. Don't follow the crowd when it comes to popular preaching. Then three, why must you care for others, teaching them? Why be careful about nice sounding preachers? You care for others because you belong to Jesus Christ. You're careful about nice sounding preachers because you belong to Jesus Christ. You are His by blood and by baptism. And you must therefore live to please Him. If you love me, you will keep my commands. What's the summary of God's law? Love God, love your neighbor. And finally, if you're not a Christian, what you need to know the most is that Jesus Christ lived and died for sinners. Don't be ignorant of that fact. Unless you accept in your heart that He died on the cross for your sins, and unless you offer God the work of Jesus Christ for you, you will die in your sins. You see, you might be a nice person, but ignorance of the law, of God's law, is no excuse. Let us pray.